episode 13. That's right. We're just doing one episode.
We're
one
merging
number
them. We're merging them.
What is that with the Borg? When
I don't. I'm not a Star Trek.
They were assimilating. I don't know. But we're getting rid of the two numbers because it's my thing and I've fucked it up. So at that point, I guess it needs to stop.
Plus, we had a bonus episode. So if technically, if you want to count those, then we're even.
It'd be like 0.5 or something.
So episode 13. Yeah. Lucky number 13.
So we're getting rid of the astromech number sequence. One thing we are keeping is our tagline. For this week, it's a son of a bitch. I'm just going to tell you that right up front. Our tagline for this show is America is being born again, and we are absolute proof of that. Our podcast is allowing America to be born again.
I don't think that one actually comes up right away on Google.
It probably doesn't.
I think you have to dig a little bit to find that one. But if you listen last week...
Towards the end of the episode.
We'll say in the last third.
Yeah.
That's where it pops up.
Usually, I don't know if it's just because I have low self-worth or a low self-value, but I usually do taglines based on movies Dave talks about for whatever reason. But this time, yeah. I went with one of my picks.
Yeah.
So that ought to be good. If you can find what movie it is, I also suggest that maybe you ought to watch the movie too. So there's another hint for you. It was perhaps my watch of the week. It was the watch.
Which just dawned on me. I don't have a watch it this week again. So there's going to be that light bulb moment again.
Yeah, you'll figure it out.
So it'll be like, I'll stop. And that's when it's like, oh crap, I need to say
I have one. I can't remember what, I do remember what it is.
I'll have to come up with something.
I'm taking your tact by not like writing it down. It's just fucking me up. Yeah. So I'm going to have to go back to writing it down. But I was trying to segue. By saying watch, you don't have a watch of the week. I do have a watch of the week.
I'll probably have a couple.
You fucked it up.
I
again.
Know intentionally this
God,
time.
God, you're a dick. Nobody watched The Watch last week. At least not as many people as really either of us thought.
I don't think as anybody thought. Like there was question whether people would be going to the movies because of the massacre. It was bad this weekend. The whole box office was pretty rough this weekend. The watch, we set the over-under at 30. I thought it would do considerably better than that. I was way off. It came in third place at $12.7
million. Yeah, I took the under, and I thought it was going to be 27.
Vince Vaughn, Jonah Hill, a comedy?
Yeah.
Like in the middle of the summer? I that one defies logic.
And a comedy that looked funny.
To me, yeah. I mean, to anybody that's a fan of those three, and they've had success, and you had like a niche market with Richard Aid.
Yeah, that guy.
The guy that did the IT Crowd, him in like a major role. I don't know how this one fell. I don't understand.
I think we had kind of mentioned it that perhaps there would be a lot of people that didn't go see Batman last week for obvious reasons.
Well, yeah.
And then
Batman made $62 million again.
Yeah.
So that's its second weekend was $62
million. Which is pretty good. I think it's maybe still a little bit less than I would have thought. But I do think that most people are only going to see one movie in any given weekend. And I think a lot of folks that maybe... If they would have gone to see Batman last weekend, maybe they'd have been more willing to see The Watch when it came out. But just for obvious reasons, they didn't go last weekend, had to get caught up. And
it didn't get great word of mouth in either. I guess it's fairly predictable. But if you like those three guys, I can't see how it would disappoint. But it'll be interesting to see how far it drops this week because maybe a lot of its audience was going to see Batman. And then next week, there's not another big comedy opening, I don't think.
I'll check into that.
I don't think there's another big comedy opening, so maybe next week they're ready for a comedy.
There's not a big comedy in wide release, but there's a couple limited, but I don't think that's really going to...
I mean, if it only drops 20 or 30%, that's not that bad, but it still started
pretty
bad. But if
it drops 20%, then you're looking at maybe $20 million over the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the budget for that movie was.
68.
Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's well on its way
to
being a bomb.
It's off to a bad start. Yeah. It's off to a bad start because it wasn't even that... Like, when you look at that cast and what the kind of movie it is, 68's not... That's relatively cheap for that kind of movie.
Yeah, with those three guys.
And it's still going to... The other wide release was Step Up Revolution, fourth place with $11.7 million, which that's good for that. I mean, that's on a $33 million budget. I'm pretty sure that's a higher budget than the rest have had.
Is it because of the 3D?
No, because the last one was 3D too.
Oh yeah, I guess
Step
you're
Up
probably
3D
right.
was in 3D, but
that makes sense.
Ice Age 4 was in second. It brought another $13 million. So I mean, you saw the Batman destroyed everybody. It opened its
sure.
Second weekend was 62. Second place was 13. So I don't know. I don't know. The watch just doesn't make sense to me. Like, that blows my mind. Like, did it bomb that bad opening weekend?
I think that was a surprise. And I don't, I mean, I guess, pardon me, if you're looking for an excuse, maybe they caught a little bit of backlash from the Trayvon Martin thing. But I got to believe that that's been a long enough ago.
I think that's long enough, yeah.
And that most people probably wouldn't realize that the movie was called Neighborhood Watch. And maybe, I don't know.
But in fifth place, you got Ted in its fifth weekend still. Or in its fifth weekend, brought in another $7 million. It's at 193. It dropped out of 85 theaters. So, like, it's dropping out of theaters. It's still making money. By next week, it'll be at $200 million. Spider-Man, $6.7 million for sixth. It dropped out almost 600 theaters. So, it's falling out of theaters faster than Ted is. But a couple of the limited release. Ruby Sparks, 13 screens for $140,000. It was $10,000 per screen. That's not bad. And then Killer Joe, only on 3 screens, brought in $37,900. So that's $12,000 a screen. And another one is Clown, 3 screens, $19,000. So $6,000 a screen. But one thing I do want to mention on Clown, you can watch that movie on Geekscape.net.
Oh, really?
For a small price, yeah. Huh. Jonathan London, the runner of Geekscape.net, did a really cool thing, and you can actually go to that site and stream the movie. So
yeah, that'd be pretty neat.
Yeah, so
do that. Throw them a couple shekels.
Yeah, yeah.
By all accounts, the movie's, you know, kind of...
It's supposed to be pretty funny, yeah.
Pretty funny, kind of raunchy.
Yeah, yeah,
but that's cool. Cool with
a K. It Swedish?
Yeah,
Danish?
Sure.
It's something like that.
It's white guys with blonde hair.
Yeah, but that was the box office this weekend. And one other thing I did want to touch on is Beasts of the Southern Wild. It's starting to open up more. It's on over 200 screens now. It just bumped up about 80 screens. It was in 13th place, just under $1 million. So it's just now starting to go wider. It's already made $4 million. So.
Is that a little ridiculous, though? I mean, I've seen television commercials in our market for that movie, and it's I don't think it's anywhere around here.
It's coming
is it?
Now. Its expansion has been.
Yeah, but I can remember, like, even when we first started seeing stuff locally for Moonrise Kingdom, it had already hit our theater. Like, this, it almost seems like they're really got to do a good job of letting you know about it well in advance before it actually gets here, which just seems kind of odd that they're putting a lot of money into our market with a movie we can't even see right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see it. I can't wait till it comes around.
Yeah, I mean, I think the people that are going to be really pumped to see it, we're going to be there...
Regardless.
Yeah, exactly. Regardless of how many spots you put in the local news. One thing that would be news for this week, and it's not, I don't think it's a real surprise for anyone, but Gangster Squad has been bumped to January 11th. And I think the only really reason, I mean, whatever was stated, I don't even know why it got bumped or what the stated reason was, but I would assume that it has to do with the shooting.
It's the shooting.
Yeah.
And like we talked about last week, I thought it would get bumped to March, but January makes sense. I haven't read any definitive thing on whether they're changing the ending or not. Because the ending is a shootout in a movie theater. I think they were leaning towards changing the ending and bumping it. But that's only 4 months. Do you have time to do that? Or do you hope that it's kind of calmed down?
Well, I guess that
would you cut down some of it?
If it had been bumped back further, then maybe they would just give it more time to blow over. But... So we won't see Gangster Squad.
I mean, that could be a movie like The Watch, where The Watch got hurt by a couple things. Like, it got hurt by Trayvon Martin thing, which isn't really directed. And then The Massacre came and kind of didn't put people in the mood to go to the movie. So sometimes some movies are just doomed. And this one kind of gets that feeling already.
Which would be a shame, because it seems like it could be a pretty decent movie.
And this is the third release date, because they bumped it from October to September. trying to jump out sooner.
To take advantage of the Tom Hardy thing, right?
No, that's Lawless.
Oh, shit.
See?
Yeah, you're
that's,
right.
I said in the summer preview. I'm gonna get him confused. I said in the summer preview, I thought it was a bad move to open so close to Lawless because it's going to be hard not to compare those movies.
Yeah.
Now you have a little bit of space, you know, take the ending, whatever you do with it. Now there is going to be some separation. So it might work out better for him in the end.
Well, we'll see. We'll see in January. One movie that we are going to see a little bit sooner than we had thought was Paul Thomas Anderson's The Master. We'll see that September 14th in limited release.
Yeah, then it's going to be, I think it's going to do something similar to what Moonrise Kingdom's been doing, where it opens in more cities on the 21st and then just staggers, which, again, is Paul Thomas, like, it doesn't make sense to me because Paul Thomas Anderson could go wide, but...
Well, he could.
You can't fault it because it worked for Moonrise Kingdom.
But I was going to say, like, I feel like Wes Anderson can and has.
I think he could do it better than Paul. I think Wes Anderson is more accessible than Paul Thomas
Anderson. I agree.
Big time.
Right.
But you can't fault. I mean, it worked for him.
It worked for Moonrise, so I think it'll be interesting to see, you know.
So you might see a lot of these kind of directors that have their market corner.
Yeah.
Is taking this the same route strategy. Most of them are going to do. I mean, Woody Allen's been doing it forever.
Yeah, that's true.
But
yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with this. Brad Pitt won't be killing him softly until October as the Andrew Dominik follow-up to the assassination of Jesse James by the cowardly Casey Affleck has been bumped back to October 19th, where it will take on Alex Cross and Paranormal Activity 4.
Yeah, this was in that September 14th spot. It's the same studio.
They swapped the two,
they
essentially.
They swapped them, essentially. And that's a rough weekend. Like, you got Brad Pitt versus Tyler Perry versus Ghosts. Those three movies, or any one of those, would be killer on that weekend by itself.
No pun intended. I think Paranormal Activity, I feel like, has lost a little bit of steam.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I think it'll open strong. I think the opening weekend, it'll open to 30 or 40, no matter what the competition
maybe,
is.
Maybe, I'm not even sure if I'm willing to say opening weekend. I'm willing to say, like, opening night. I think the people, it definitely has a cult following. And the people that are into those movies see them on midnight or they see it Friday night. I don't think the overall weekend number is going to be that great. I mean, I think Alex Cross will do well. Tyler Perry has a following. Plus the fact that the movie actually does look kind of good.
Yeah.
You know, Tyler Perry notwithstanding. It's not a Madea movie.
It's not. It is a Tyler Perry movie, but it's not a Tyler Perry movie.
Right.
It's an Alex Cross movie. So it's a psychological thriller, which it's a weird. It feels like a summer weekend. It really does. You have your star-led, kind of indie-ish mainstream movie with Brad Pitt killing them softly. You have your psychological thriller, then you have, like, a horror movie. Like, it feels like that weekend in June we had where
it's got
Magic
something
Mike
for everybody,
and Tyler
yeah.
Perry and Seeking a Friend, I think it was.
I think so, yeah.
So, I mean, it's just an odd to have that much option in October.
Well, it good for us in October, though.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot of times, especially in October, you just get the whatever Saw movie is out.
Because I'd watch any of those three, honestly.
Yeah, I think I probably would, too. Disney is also shuffling around some release dates. Monsters, Inc. 3D is going from January to December 19th.
That's huge. I don't think people... The 3D re-releases have been killer for Disney. They've been huge.
Yeah,
Lion King was number one
for,
like, 4 weeks in a row.
Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, and then you put this out a week before Christmas, when you got The Hobbit, you got Django, you got Great Gatsby.
And I was also going to say, like, in case the Mayans are right, we will actually get to see this movie. Like, that, to me, that's the significant thing, was, you know, we were all going to be
What's
dead.
What's the date on the Mayans?
I think it's, like, 12/21.
Oh, okay.
December 21st. Yeah. So they are going to, I mean, if you see it opening weekend, you'll be fine. But don't wait. Don't hesitate. You'll be croaked. Definitely, if the Mayans are right, we won't end up seeing any of the several movies that are in the works for the Minions from Despicable Me. Along with appearing in Despicable Me 2 next summer, the Minions are set to have their own movie for a 2014 release. Brian Lynch of Hop fame has written a script for co-directors Kyle Balda of The Lorax and Pierre Coffin of Despicable Me.
I love Despicable Me.
I liked it too.
I absolutely loved it. I don't know what the Minions can do in a feature.
Yeah, I feel like a short movie would be really cute.
There was
with
a
them.
Short with the DVD that was cute, but it was like 7 minutes long.
I think I could deal with even like a half an hour, like a cartoon,
But I mean, but then you have heavy hitters, like not so much the guy that wrote Hop, but the Lorax was a huge hit. Despicable Me was a huge hit. taking both of those directors and having them work together. So they obviously, this clearly isn't a throwaway project.
No, no, I don't think so.
They clearly are banking on this to be, so you'll have two summers in a row with the Minions, which, all right.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I'm absolutely fine with that. They remind me a bit of the little alien guys from Toy Story. Did they ever get their own movie?
I think they had shorts.
Okay. Yeah, because that seemed like the model to take. But, hey, whatever. We'll give it a shot. Maybe it'll be good. Maybe not so much. DreamWorks this week bought Classic Media, which gives them the rights to a bunch of shit that I don't think anybody cares about. Casper the Friendly Ghost, Where's Waldo, Lassie the Lone Ranger, George of the Jungle, Voltron, Rocky and Bullwinkle, Frosty the Snowman, Rudolph, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and the Little Golden Books Library.
Realize how huge that is? If they start using that, like, DreamWorks is already doing well in the family market. If you put out a Casper and, like, a DreamWorks Casper movie, it would do well.
Casper, maybe. I'm looking at the rest of these.
Voltron? Like a DreamWorks Voltron movie?
I like Voltron. Maybe more than a lot of folks.
That would get them into a completely different audience.
Yeah, but God.
You say you wouldn't go see a CGI Voltron movie.
Like, have you tried to go back and watch the old
cartoons? No, they don't hold up at all.
No, they're awful.
They're awful.
And man, that was one of the...
There are no Silverhawks.
No. Well, I haven't tried to watch Silverhawks recently, but...
I just think that's crazy, because DreamWorks is doing well with original content. Now they have all this stuff to pull off.
There's got to be at least one reason that they bought. And I don't know if it's Casper. I would think it's got to be like maybe one of the Christmas things. Maybe Frosty or
but
Rudolph.
But I mean, they've already done Rocky and Bullwinkle projects.
Yeah.
A couple of them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we talk about, like, I think with kids' stuff, like something like George of the Jungle, I don't think. But I think Casper is kind of timeless. I think the idea Lassie...
Does your daughter know about Casper?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just trying to
but
think,
she's three.
Maybe she's too young.
Yeah.
But I'm just trying to think, like...
She would love them, because she likes, like, zombies, and she likes that kind of stuff. So I think she'd be really into Casper.
Or she'd just be like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
What the hell are you making me watch this shit for? In other DreamWorks news, the director of the three Madagascars and Megamind, Tom McGrath, set to make a live-action debut with Rent-A-Ghost. Ben Stiller looking to star in a script by Tom Lennon and his buddy Robert Ben-Gurant.
I love Robert Ben-Gurant, Thomas Lennon, but they do write crap.
Well,
for money.
I was going to say, like, Herbie.
The Two Night at the Museums.
The,
like,
Squeakquel.
Their book, if you haven't read their book, How to Write Movies for Fun and Money with the fun crossed out, read it. It's awesome. They're just huge idols of mine, because The State was... But it's, I mean, Ben Stiller, he was in the three Madagascar movies, so he produced Megamind.
Yeah.
So him teaming up with this director makes sense.
Did you see Megamind?
I loved it.
I think I saw it, and I think I liked it, or
I
maybe
really
I just
liked,
liked the preview
that
enough.
That was another one we talk about pairing up, because that's not the same movie as Despicable Me, but they were released so close together.
Did they seem very similar?
It's hard not to compare them.
Yeah.
Which I enjoyed them both. I think Despicable Me was the more fun movie, but I think Megamind was the better overall movie. Like, Megamind, I could see being a live action, like, family, like, comedy drama, and it would have worked out.
I think, to me, more than Despicable Me, I think of Megamind in terms of, like, The Incredibles.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it was a good story, but you had your all-star cast. You had Brad Pitt, you had Will Ferrell, Jonah Hill, like... I liked them both. I really did. I enjoyed both of them a lot.
Yeah, so check them out. Justin Long was not in Megamind, I don't think so. Although he probably could have been. I mean, what the hell? Or was he?
I don't think he was.
I don't think he was either. And it's very easy for me to say, yeah, he probably wasn't, just because
statistically speaking. But he shows up in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Justin Long's one of those that...
That's what made me, like, double clutch. Like oh, shit.
He's
I'm
in a lot of
odds,
stuff
but...
that you don't real. He's the voice of Alvin in the Chipmunks movies.
Holy shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's just one of those that just... quietly has an awesome career.
Stacking Benjis. Well, he's going to make a little bit of money, as well as Rachel Nichols. They're both going to be making the money in the 10 o'clock people.
That's Stephen King one.
The Stephen King's son?
No, that's Stephen King's.
Is it?
Yeah.
What's Steve? Oh, it's
Joe,
the Horns.
Yeah.
That's the one's his son. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
fair
enough.
We talked
Which
a little
I got
bit about
a text
them,
from but... my friend Westy after listening to that episode telling me that that book is really good.
It sounds neat.
Yeah, and he wrote a comic book called Lock and Key that was picked up for pilot by Fox, but then shelved. So,
oh, good.
So the pilot's out there to watch. But yeah, this is Stephen King one of the many Stephen King movies coming. I just, Rachel Nichols seems Taylor Kitsch-ish to me. She doesn't have a good track record.
Oh, I thought you meant like she seems like a handsome man.
No, she doesn't have a good track record with stuff.
Maybe this, I mean, this one sounds cool. So maybe that this will help her break out of the funk. Apparently, Fast and the Furious 6 is happening. I saw a picture, I think, last week with Vin Diesel.
Production went underway today.
Oh, well.
They just started production on it.
I wish we had, like, some confetti or banners. Have you seen any of the Fast and the Furious?
No, I haven't.
I have not either. Not watched 5 minutes of any of the previous five movies. But oddly enough, as I was writing, like, the list of people that are in them, like, I know who's in these movies. And that's kind of weird. Who's going to be in the new one is this young blonde lady, Clara Padgett, which seems to be a little bit outside of their comfort level. It's usually brunettes, which fine with me. But also going to star in this newer one. The guy was in The Raid, Joe Taslim. Also Gina Carano and Luke Evans. And maybe Rihanna. They will join Vin Diesel, Paul
Walker. So they're
going
after good actors. You got the MMA fighter, the singer.
Gina Carano wasn't bad.
And the model.
You know, like,
she was okay.
Yeah. But, I mean, it could have been worse. Like, yeah. when you cast wrestlers, sometimes that doesn't work
like
so well.
The Rock. But he's good, though.
Rock's a good actor.
The Rock's really good.
Dwayne Johnson, good actor. Probably, the hell with it, I'm going to say it. I don't think I'm going on that big of a limb. He's the best actor in these movies, right?
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, no, that's not really saying much.
Well, he's better than Jordana Brewster, Michelle Rodriguez, and Tyrese.
Yeah. I mean, you could say Vin Diesel had his run as a movie star, but The Rock is a decent actor and a huge movie star.
Diesel's coming back, though. I mean, with this, he's got that new Riddick movie,
which
looks like it's going to be like the other Riddick movies. Yeah.
It's going to be ridiculous.
Okay, I like that.
Ridiculous.
I didn't like it as much the second time.
I didn't pronounce it right the first time.
Well, I got where you were going.
I know.
People will figure it out. They're pretty smart. This, I can only say, is incredibly smart casting. Robert Rodriguez killing it again, casting Lady Gaga as La Chameleon in Machete Kills. Oh, now this you editorialized this.
I did
this.
Add this.
In the article in which we both read for this story, the former spy kid Alexa Vega appears in very scantily clad in a bikini. What is her character?
I don't know.
Yeah, you didn't even read.
But she's grown up.
You just looked at the picture.
She grew up.
Yeah, check that out if you're a fan of the Spy Kids movies. And who is the dude? Didn't the dude go on to do some stuff?
No, you're thinking Taylor Lautner, who was Sharkboy in Sharkboy and Lava
Girl.
Yeah,
maybe that's what I'm thinking of. And apparently those aren't the same movie. But, hey, you learn something.
Both Robert Rodriguez joins.
Yeah, you learn something every day. Paul Giamatti, not in Sharkboy and Lava Girl. Jason Schwartzman and Ruth Wilson join Saving Mr. Banks.
That cast is pretty awesome.
Even if you just went Paul Giamatti and Schwartzman, I like Schwartzman more than most. But
Hanks, Colin Farrell, Emma Watson. Like, this cast is awesome. I don't give a fuck about Mary Poppins, but I think this movie will be cool.
Yeah, definitely. I think we talked about that a couple weeks ago. So if you're unfamiliar with it, just listen to our, I think it was our summer preview something.
Probably
it's where we talked about a bunch of movies.
We talked about.
Because I don't know why else we'd be talking about that.
Anymore.
Yeah, whatever. Your boy, Alex Pettifer, joins homewrecker Kristen Stewart in Callie, the movie where she fakes her own death via a snuff film.
And then comes back to save her sisters.
Sure. Who hasn't done that or seen that? Is it really fair to call Kristen Stewart the homewrecker? Because wasn't the other guy just as culpable?
Yeah, but here's what made me mad about that. Not that we're getting into gossipy, but everybody's like, oh, poor R. Pats. Like,
he'll be fine.
Poor Robert Pattinson. He, you know, his girlfriend cheated on him. Yes, let's feel sorry for the handsome 25-year-old British actor.
Who's got a shit ton
of
money.
Ignore the 40-something-year-old housewife with two kids whose husband just cheated on him. With a chick that's probably horrible at faking an orgasm.
Because she can't act.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably like sigh, bite bottom lip. Ugh. That's probably it. That's a Kristen Stewart orgasm.
Oh, man. I wish this was a video podcast because that was... If you could have just actually seen Dave act out Kristen Stewart's orgasm, it was probably better than she
her
would
Her real
do.
Orgasms. Or her fake ones. I don't think she can have an orgasm.
Is that because she's a vampire?
I don't know. There's no reason for me to say that.
Maybe it's just because she's an android.
No time for a sequel, Dr. Jones. Rick Marshall says, we're going to get a Jurassic Park 4 last week, but this week, no Indy 5.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Can you go back and say we're not going to get an Indy 4?
Yeah, I don't think you can put the toothpaste back in the nuclear bomb safe refrigerator. Yeah. Wolf of Wall Street gets some more money as John Favreau gets cast.
Gets more money, and it doesn't even know it.
Yeah, you're so money, you don't even know it.
John Favreau.
No, I like him too. This cast, again, awesome.
He's awesome in, like, bit parts. Like, he's exactly awesome in small parts.
Yeah, I think when he can pick his spots, he can be very effective, but too much just kind of gets wasted. Doug Liman to helm a project that has been rumored to have been a go time and again. It is time and again. The romantic comedy about a writer that travels back to 1882.
Doug Liman, director of Swingers.
Yeah, and I think we're about to go
back to Doug Liman.
Yeah, time and again, back to Doug Liman. Before time traveling, he will do battle with aliens in All You Need Is Kill, starring an actual alien and Emily Blunt, Tom Cruise.
If you read anything about this movie?
Nothing.
Oh my god, it sounds awesome. It's the aliens have taken over the world, so we're fighting them, and Tom Cruise is this soldier that has to go out and fight the aliens, but every day he dies, like every day the aliens kill him, and then...
So it's like Groundhog Day.
Yeah, but fighting aliens. And then he sees... I don't know if Emily Blunt's playing her. It's based on a Japanese novel. There's the Bitch of War, I think is the name of the character. He sees her during battle and thinks that might be his way to figure out how to either get out of the cycle or just die for good. I think it'll be awesome. I guarantee it'll have a title change before it happens.
I hope they change it to The Bitch of War. I would absolutely go. I don't even give a shit what the movie's about.
Awesome. I'm excited about this movie.
Yeah, sure. I will, we'll wait and see on that. Things are a go for Denzel Washington to bring The Equalizer to the big screen. Studio eyeing an April start. Short list of directors for that includes Pierre Morrill, Nikki Winding Rain, Gavin O'Connor, and Gareth Evans.
Do you remember The Equalizer TV show?
You know what? I think... Now, this was late 80s, right?
It was mid to late,
87, 88.
Yeah.
I'd have been 4 years old.
Yeah. This is the first, like, franchise for Denzel Washington. Like, this is the first thing he's done where it's like, oh, this could lead to multiple movies.
Yeah, I guess. But
I think
he's been all right.
Yeah, like, no, that's what I mean. It's just crazy that for somebody that's had that much success, hasn't had, like, a tentpole picture that could potentially lead to other. I can't think of any.
Yeah, I
think this is his first, like, tentpole, like, franchise film, which is cool. I mean, I love Denzel Washington.
Yeah, no, I do too.
But, it's just weird. They're going to make this movie on the $60 million budget. He's getting his standard $20
million. Dude.
So they're essentially making this
movie. Is he producing this? Or?
Uh-uh.
I guess not. If he was producing it, they're...
They're essentially making this movie on a $40 million budget.
Jesus. Yeah, that's... Well, good for him. Get yours. What the fuck was Equalizer about? Dave, why don't you...
Was that... He wasn't a stuntman, was he? Or was he a bounty hunter?
No.
I don't remember.
I was going to say, you need to educate our younger audience.
I don't remember.
And your younger
I remember co-host. The poster, but I don't remember the actual show.
All right, well, whatever.
The poster's very 80s.
Maybe the movie will be different. So
oh, I'm sure it will be.
No point in telling you what the television show was about. Jeremy Renner looking to play Julian Assange in a WikiLeaks movie, possibly directed by Bill Condon.
I like Jeremy Renner.
Yeah.
That he's in this position now where he can do what he wants.
Do I care about a week?
I don't. Kind of
interesting,
but
I guess. I feel like I'm tired of the story at this point.
I am too, but I could see Renner in that part. Like, Assange is kind of an interesting dude.
We probably won't see it for a while, but...
if we do at all.
Yeah, that's true. Definitely going to see this next film. The writer of Milk, Dustin Lance Black, shaking things up, writing Earthquake for J.J. Abrams.
J.J. Abrams is a busy dude.
Busy dude, and I think there's also another Earthquake-type movie that's looking to be in production about the same time. Don't know what it's called.
It seems cyclical. It seems like it always happens.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's going to be one of those things where, you know,
Volcano and Dante's Peak.
Yeah.
Armageddon, Deep Impact.
Right. It'll be this Earthquake movie and
Megamind, Despicable Me.
Something else. Other J.J. Abrams news. J.J. Abrams hopes not to butt heads with fellow producer Edgar Wright as they move forward with Collider. Get it? Collide. a sci-fi film directed by Wright and from a script that he'll be co-writing with Mark Protasevich. I Am Legend, Old Boy Remake, Thor, and Mass Effect. Was he write? Did he write the...
The no. adaptation, yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, he didn't write the game.
That's some... I mean, Protasevich has been having a decent sci-fi writing career. And then you got Edgar Wright and J.J. Abrams. Some big names.
That's some sci-fi clout.
They clearly have some high hopes for Collider.
Yeah. So we'll see. It sounds cool. Just from those names. I mean, you really put Edgar Wright with anything, and I'll say it's
cool. But it's
cool.
Just what has to get dropped. He's not going to drop Ant-Man. World's End.
That'll be done by then.
Yeah, so World's End. But he's also signed up for the Johnny Depp Disney movie.
Drop that.
He probably will, because there's something else. I'm blanking right now. He's got two other things lined up and this, after Ant-Man and World's End.
Speaking of dropping, Russell Crowe has dropped his dream of playing Bill Hicks in a biopic. Instead, he's just going to be a director, which I think we had mentioned before that he was tossing around the idea of doing both, and now he's just decided to do the directing,
bring it up last week because I forgot.
I think it was 2 weeks ago, wasn't it?
No, or, this just came out like the day we recorded last week. Because he's always talked about wanting to play Bill Hicks. And a younger Russell Crowe is actually perfect. But Russell Crowe now, not. So I pity whoever gets that role. Because you're being directed by an Oscar-winning actor playing his dream role. Like, that's going to be rough. Making his directorial debut. Like, that's going to be... But Russell Crowe, I hope it comes out good. Like, Bill Hicks is a cool story.
He deserves a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you haven't watched American, the Bill Hicks story, it's his documentary. Awesome.
And there's some stand-up specials. They're streaming on Netflix.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to give you a suggestion for maybe what to watch this week. Because you haven't got that, like, oh shit face yet. So I'm assuming you don't have anything.
No, I don't.
All right. Well, just keep that in the back of your mind. When she's done remaking Carrie, Kimberly Pierce will move on to remake the 2000 French movie With a Friend Like Harry with the script by, apparently we just figured out, the Prison Break guy, Wentworth Miller.
Well, the thing is I read this news and I saw Wentworth Miller and I thought, isn't that...
What the fuck is a Wentworth Miller?
I thought, isn't that the guy from Prison Break? And then I looked it up, that's the guy from Prison Break. And he's like writing now, and he's writing, he wrote Stroker, which I think comes out in January. It's Nicole Kidman, Mia Wasikowska, like... sci-fi action movie directed by, I think, Chan-Woo Park. I could be off on that. I think it's him. But, so it's like, he looks like somebody that would be named Wentworth Miller, but apparently he can write. But, Kimberly Pierce, I'd like to see her get back into it and not take five years between movies.
See her do something that's not a remake?
She's had a decent career so far.
I was just trying to segue into our remakes.
I know, and I was killing that.
Yeah. You're pretty good at that. Not that I have good transitions to begin with, but if I did, I'd be really upset with you. I think did we tease this at all?
Like, no, we should have. I just thought about, like, oh, we should have teased what we're talking about.
Yeah, well, we didn't, so consider this your tease. We had kind of decided that with we just talked about a couple of remakes and then Total Recall coming out this week, that now would be a good time to give you our top five remakes of all time. And David actually asked me before, and I just want to do this right at the start. Remake versus reboot. I tend to think that argument in itself is just semantical. I think they're both kind of the same thing.
Yeah, but here's my thing is, like, I didn't include reboots in mine because, say, we're going to start off with best remakes, like our favorite remakes ever. If you want to do that, the Punisher, the Thomas Jane Punisher movie, would be up there high for me. Because if you want to consider it, it could be a remake of the Dolph Lundgren one from the 80s.
Yeah, that's true.
But it wasn't really remaking that Punisher movie. It was just relaunching the Punisher franchise. So it was a reboot. Like, Batman Begins wasn't a remake.
If there's multiple versions of something, then you consider it a reboot?
Or if it's intended to be a franchise. Like, Batman Begins wasn't a remake of Tim Burton's 1989 Batman. Okay. It was rebooting the franchise. That's where I go with it. If it's a franchise, if you're starting a franchise over again.
Okay.
Because we're also going to do top five movies we want remade.
Yeah.
I was going to put Tomb Raider, but then I thought, no, that's a reboot. Like, I don't care if they... I don't want them to remake them. I want them to reboot that character. So that's the difference between that. It's pretty much if you want it to be a franchise.
Okay, well, I mean, that's you know, a difference for you. I don't use the terms interchangeably. I don't use the term reboot a lot. But I guess that's where we're coming from. Dave kind of gave you his rationale behind remakes and reboots. So
on our best, we're going to do our top five favorite remakes.
Yeah.
Did you have any criteria on yours?
You know what? My criteria was, by and large, the original movies I haven't seen. I take that back. Only one of the originals I haven't seen. But I like all these remakes. I think they're good. I think they're really good movies. I do happen to think that they're all better than the originals. Actually, yeah, one of them sucks.
Because did you exclude anything?
I asked you to exclude something, but I really didn't.
No, I meant, did you exclude... Like, I didn't do foreign. I didn't do...
No, there's... Well, there's...
Like, I didn't do The Departed. Like, I didn't do an American remake of a foreign movie.
I didn't do The Departed. It's on my, like, also-ran list.
Yeah.
I like The Departed, but I thought it was very, very similar to the Korean version.
Yeah.
And they're just, I don't know, movies that I liked better.
So I excluded foreign. I excluded reboots. And I didn't do based on a book where it's, like, True Grit.
Yeah.
It was... kind of a remake of the, but it was more a remake of the book.
Yeah, there were some things.
Because it was on my list, but then I thought, no, they were just making a different version of the book.
True Grit was on my also-ran list.
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't care about books, because there's one of them, number
two. I mean, I'm just...
Two?
I'm just throwing out what I...
Off a book?
My criteria. Yeah, okay. So if you have questions about it, like...
That's why.
Yeah.
Okay.
But why don't you start first?
All right. My number five is a remake, and we're going to start off with a remake of the movie that I haven't seen. A 1997 Norwegian flick, directed by young Christopher Nolan, starring Al Pacino, Hilary Swank, Robin Williams, Insomnia.
See, I didn't really like Insomnia.
I liked it a lot.
But to be fair...
Robin Williams was great.
To be fair, that was when I was watching Memento like twice a week, and I was watching Following like once a month. Like, I was huge into those two movies, and then he gets this major studio, and I went and saw it opening day. It just didn't hit me. I don't think I ever gave it another chance.
That might have been my introduction to Christopher Nolan, actually. I do remember seeing it in the theater, and I thought, boy, this is kind of a neat movie.
See, I only saw it that one time in theater, and it wasn't Memento. It wasn't Following.
No, definitely not.
So
it's a linear story.
I might need to check it out again. Like, I only remember some of it, but... I mean, there were cool parts of it. I wasn't too into it. I need to revisit it, though.
I think it's worth it, totally. Obviously, I put in my top five remakes.
My number five, a bit weird for me, 310 to Yuma from 2007, remake of the 1957 movie.
Yeah, it's a good flick.
I hate Westerns. I really do hate Westerns. But these modern takes on Westerns, mm-hmm. I'm kind of for. Like this, 310 to Yuma, I thought was good.
And then Australia, The Proposition
was very good. The Proposition was fantastic. Yeah. Not really a traditional Western, but it feels like a Western. And then Assassination of Jesse James, I thought was fantastic.
Yeah,
it's slow, it's boring, but
it really
I thought it was amazing. So 310 to Yuma is my number five.
All right, number four for me is a remake of a 1932 film called Scarface. It's 1983's Scarface. Brian De Palma, Al Pacino, Stephen Bauer, Michelle Pfeiffer. If there was no Scarface, there'd be a bunch of folks probably between, I don't know, 18 and 35 that have nothing to talk about, nothing to rap about.
And rappers wouldn't have a favorite
movie. We'd have no hip-hop genre.
Yeah.
Good movie, though.
Yeah, I don't have a lot to say about Scarface. I saw it when I was young.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody's probably seen it.
I saw it when I was, like, young, and haven't watched it in my adult life.
Yeah.
So... Because I was four when that came out. I think I saw it when I was about nine. So I haven't went back and revisited it.
I've seen it as an adult. I've seen both movies as an adult. I liked the 1932 version a lot, actually. It has nothing to do with cocaine. But the thing that I liked about the movie was kind of the story arc of the character. They adapted to fit the 80s and coke. So I thought that was neat.
My number four is a rough one because the original was really, really good. And the original was driven by an amazing performance. The remake, really, really good, driven by an amazing performance. That is 1991's Cape Fear.
Oh, yeah.
A remake of the 1962 movie.
Mm-hmm.
Both Robert De Niro and his name's totally escaping me.
Yeah, me too. And I'd look it up, but I don't have the password to your router.
Yeah, we're in the office. It doesn't get reception anyway. But it's just an awesome movie. And the remake Juliette Lewis pretty much stole that movie. Like, she almost outshined De Niro in this quintessential, like, De Niro role. Like, that
crazy
role
ass.
Was made for De Niro. Yeah. And she was... she gets a lot of crap now, but when she was younger, she had an awesome career. And I think that's an awesome movie. Like, both versions. Both,
yeah, no, I agree.
I would watch either one of them anytime.
Yeah. Number three, for me, a remake of the 1958 movie of the same name. It is 1986's The Fly, directed by David Cronenberg with Jeff Goldblum, Gina Davis. Relatively certain that Vincent Price was not the star of the original one, but I think he shows up at the end. And it's not very good. I mean, it's your B sci-fi movie, but Cronenberg just went nuts with it. So good.
And I still think that's more highly regarded than it should be, I think. The Fly.
Because of the special effects, or...
Something. I don't think it's as good as it's made out to be. It's a good movie, but I don't think it's an all-time great, which is how a lot of people talk about it is.
It might not be one of my all-time, like, favorite movies.
It's definitely a good remake.
In terms of remakes, yeah.
For this conversation, it's fantastic. Yeah. I think overall, it's a little too highly regarded, but
it's not still my favorite Cronenberg movie.
Like, it's still a cool movie. Yeah. My number three, Man on Fire from 2004, Denzel Washington joint, was a remake of a 1987 film starring Scott Glenn. Pretty much the same movie, except the original took place in Italy, and 2004 was Mexico. And I think in the original, the kid that got kidnapped ran track or something, and in the remake, Dakota Fanning swam. So that's Man on Fire. That's an awesome movie. That's a Tony Scott, Denzel Washington collaboration.
Yeah, those two are
pretty
solid. Also pretty solid was the 1941 remake of a pretty shitty movie by the same name. And actually, there was the original version in 31, and then I believe there was a sequel that came out in 36. They both sucked. But when John Huston got a hold of The Maltese Falcon, he did a pretty good job of it. It's Humphrey Bogart and Mary Astor, one of the quintessential film noirs of all time.
Yeah.
Check it out.
That's a reach back. Like, that one makes sense, but that's pulling from the depths there.
That one is one of my top 10 of all time. I love me some Maltese Falcon. The first movie is very similar. It's just shittier in every possible way.
Yeah.
So,
well, you don't have Humphrey Bogart.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
So don't bother with the 31. Go straight to 41.
My number two is kind of a weird remake. It's a director remaking his own made-for-TV movie. The movie being remade, 1989's L.A. Takedown, which was remade in 1995 by Michael Mann as Heat.
I liked Heat. I don't think I ever saw the made-for-TV version.
I didn't either. I don't have to.
Yeah, like, yeah. Good
Heat
point.
Heat is the crime movie. Like, I put that up there. That is the crime movie to me. Like, that is everything. Like, I love crime movies. I absolutely love them. Heat has everything I love about them.
Yeah. Great shootouts, chases.
Natalie Portman cutting herself in the tub.
That happens.
Like, it's just such a good... De Niro's character is so good.
And this is when Val Kilmer was, like, not a joke.
Yeah. This one, Val Kilmer. Again.
And Sizemore?
Sizemore was in it.
Yeah, before he was a joke.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, this cast was awesome.
Yeah.
It just keeps going. And Michael Mann, it's Mike... I'm not a huge Michael Mann fanboy, but when Michael Mann's on, he's really, really on. And this movie... I love Heat so much.
No,
like, that movie's so
good. I'll give
good.
You that one. That's
pretty
solid.
Before you go on to your number one...
Yeah. Do you want to do your number one?
No. Okay. Well, we shared a number one.
You
asked me not to put it my number one.
You did it anyway.
I can't put anything
else. I asked you not to put it on the list, and you made it your number one.
Because it was already my number one. When you talk remakes, this movie cannot be your number one. So I'll let you talk about
it. It cannot not be your number one? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I'll let you talk about it, but... We're on the same. I couldn't just leave it off my list completely when it's my favorite.
You could have put a caveat saying that, well, I had something else, but Ryan was being a bitch.
So what's our number one?
Our number one is a remake of 1951's The Thing from Another World. It's John Carpenter's 1982 The Thing. It is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Same here.
It is my favorite John Carpenter movie, so I guess I would say it's probably my favorite horror movie. But I mean, it to this day, the practical special effects, they hold up. the special effects that he did in 1982 look much better than the special effects that were done
in the remake in 2011.
Well, it's not really a remake. It's
technically a remake.
It's a prequel.
It's a remake.
No, that's not
true. You don't name a prequel the exact same thing. They tried to pass it off as a prequel.
Well, what else were you going to call it?
It's a remake.
It's
passing it off as a prequel.
It's a prequel.
It's a goddamn remake. But anyway, so it's
good,
the original.
Way.
No, it's all, and Joel Edgerton, that's when he was just in a string of making bad movies.
Yeah.
But it's a fucking remake. I don't care what you call it. It's just such a good movie. It's top 10 or 15 ever for me.
It's really good.
Like, it's everything. Like, I talked about Heat being, like, the crime movie. Like, the perfect crime. This does it for horror.
Yeah.
Like, this has everything a horror movie should have. Like, this is more frightening than... As much as I love, like, the Nightmare and the Friday the 13th movies,
when you see Jason and when you see Freddy, you know they're the bad guy. The thing that was so great about the thing was you didn't know until his face ate you, and then it was too late.
Unrelated, the video game for this, when Xbox first came out, was insane.
I had that game pre-ordered.
It's the hardest video game I've ever played in my life.
Yeah.
Like, it's so amazing just because the story is so cool.
Yep.
And if you watch the remake, it's so hard not to get frustrated because you took this awesome, awesome thing and just
made a shitty version of it.
You didn't just not add anything. Like, you took all the good stuff away from it.
Kind of.
The scene in the fucking, with the Petri dish and the lighter, that's a top five movie scene ever for me. That scene is fucking brilliant. Keith David,
Keith David.
Amazing in that movie. Especially that movie is awesome.
Yeah, and I mean, Kurt Russell's awesome too. And I think, like, maybe it's just because I love this movie, but there's so many, like, the transformation scenes. Every one of them. The scene with the AED, with the paddles.
And
like,
they're done in 82.
Exactly. And they look so good. They scared the shit out of you.
They still look. The fucking spider thing walking across. Oh,
the
my
head spider.
God.
Yeah.
Jesus. That's why I had to put this number one. Because
fair enough.
I'm fucking passionate about this movie because this movie is fucking great.
Awesome movie. Awesome movie. I hope you've all seen it. If you haven't, you know, fuck it. This is the only time I'll ever say stop listening to our podcast. Stop listening to our podcast and watch the thing.
Just see it. It's so good.
Watch it a couple times because it is that damn good.
If you get a chance, sometimes there'll be cult showings on a big screen. If you can see this movie on a big screen, do it.
Yeah.
This movie's so good.
Totally worth it. Do you have any that almost made the list but not quite?
No, I think I cut them all out when I decided not to do Foreign. And I think Ransom is the only one that... almost made it.
The Mel Gibson joint?
Yeah,
that was a good movie. I'll just mention a couple. Magnificent Seven, I thought was great. It's a remake of The Seven Samurai. Both of those movies are real good. Casino Royale, the remake, way different than the original, but totally worth a watch. The Dawn of the Dead remake was probably the closest to making my list. I love both of those movies.
I enjoy watching that, but comparing it to the original is nowhere near.
It's not as good, but... I love the original, and I thought they did a good job with the remake. So, I mean, to make this list, it had a chance. Is it better than the original? No.
It's not better. It isn't. It lacked a lot of what made the original good.
Well,
it didn't
have any social commentary, really.
Exactly, and
whatever.
Was Snyder. It looked cool.
Yeah,
it was fun,
I thought it was an
alright
movie.
There was no
depth
to it, which the original had so much.
And my last one, also a remake of an 80s horror movie, Fright Night. I liked that.
It was decent.
I
was super stoked on that because I love the original. Mm-hmm. I love the cast of this remake. Like, the casting was perfect, but it didn't hit as much as I wanted it to. The good parts were really, really good, but they were kind of too few and far between for me. I think it was about half of a great movie and the other half mediocre.
But that's why I left it off my list.
Yeah,
that's pretty
solid. David Tennant was great.
Yeah.
Anton Yelchin was good. Mm-hmm. They kind of butchered Evil Ed.
Yeah.
I didn't like how they approached his character, but Colin Farrell, dude,
still
good. Got it.
Yeah.
Like, and who was the girl? Imogen Poots.
Oh. Yeah, I could do without her, but everybody else was awesome.
It was a fun movie. Like, I'd watch it again, but I didn't enjoy it as much as the original.
All right, well, what about originals that maybe you didn't really enjoy, but you think that they could use a remake?
Actually, most of these are movies I enjoy... that could be better.
Four of these I really like.
I have a tie for number five. And it's only because when I was younger, two movies scared the shit out of me. Like, I grew up watching horror movies, so it was hard for me to, like, really get scared by horror movies. The Guardian from 1990, about the tree that ate babies.
Yeah.
And Communion from 1989.
About the Catholics that
Christopher
ate babies.
Walken alien movie.
Yeah.
I haven't watched those in years. There's probably nothing to them, but they scared the shit out of me.
So you want them to be remade so you still won't watch them?
No, I want them to be remade so they can scare a whole new generation of kids and myself.
Fair enough. This movie, I didn't think was scary. It's actually my least favorite of the five I'm about to talk about. And I'll probably get stoned for saying this, but I'm not a big fan of Brazil. Terry Gilliam's 1985 flick. Most people will give you, oh, it's one of the best sci-fi. And it, maybe it is. But I think that now, if you cut out about a half an hour of it and you gave it some better special effects, I think the movie could be pretty good.
That's one of my least favorite movies ever.
Yeah, I don't really care for it, but I think that there's enough there story-wise that maybe...
Possibly.
And okay, even if you want to give Terry Gilliam another crack at it, I just think the movie could be better if it were up to date a little bit. But maybe
you wouldn't want to see somebody else like... Who's another quirky? Like an Aronofsky or somebody that's got a quirkiness to them? Like with their own vision, you wouldn't want... It would probably be the same thing over again.
I guess they could. I'm assuming that I'd get a similar kind of movie. I just think if it was more up-to-date... Maybe it'd be a little bit better.
And more straightforward and less like...
Yeah. That movie just goes on and you really have to stick with it the whole time. Otherwise, it devolves into you have no idea what's going on. You don't care.
My number four goes back to my liking the current updates of country of Westerns.
Yeah.
The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance was a John Wayne... was it Humphrey... I forget who the other guy was.
Yeah.
John Wayne and another huge name. I like the story of that. I don't like all of it. Like, I don't like the senator angle and everything, the flashback. But it's a cool story that I'd like to see modernized. A modern Western of. Like, not modernized.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
A new take of the Western.
There are sometimes, like...
Like
maybe,
a 310 to Yuma style.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, like, maybe for my number one movie, I would like if it would be modernized, like set in modern times. Not that it's really not, but the next movie set way in the future. And I believe they are actually kind of planning a remake of this. And I believe that it is... It's one of the Ryans. But not Reynolds. It's either Gosling... Or Phillippe. I think it's Gosling.
Is it Logan's Run?
It is Logan's Run.
Gosling.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I thought.
Him and Nicholas Winding Refn were on it.
Yeah, which would be great. I love Logan's Run.
Yeah.
Great movie. That, to me, in terms of sci-fi or just regular movie, way better than Brazil. Love it, and I would like to see it.
It's a good movie.
A newer version.
I don't know how... It's such a dumb premise.
Is it, though?
I think so. It's a harder premise to sell now.
I don't know, because they just had that...
In Time.
Timberlake,
which was
yeah.
a dumb premise. But it was,
I didn't think it was a dumb premise.
It was... But that was at least a little different than Logan's Run, where...
Well, yeah, because you could
it
buy.
Wasn't just you're at 30 and you're dead. Like, it has to be updated. It has to be... There has to be a tweak to it, I think.
Oh, they could. I mean, I don't think the tweak is as necessary, but I just like to see the effects don't hold up now. But I think the story is kind of neat.
The story's cool.
And I would like to see a newer version of it. That's all.
Yeah. Where are we at? Number three? My number three is a 1975 Australian film based on the Australian novel Picnic at Hanging Rock.
They make Australian novels?
Yeah, it was written by an Australian novelist.
Huh.
Yeah, have you seen Picnic? I don't know how popular this movie is.
Judging by the blank look on my face, no.
It's a really cool movie. It's just about this group of girls.
Dingoes and Fosters.
From this group of girls from a school that go out with their teacher and they just disappear. And then the subsequent, like, what happens in the town. It's a really cool movie. Like, it's really weird and out there. And the book is a little more strange. And the author had a last chapter that explained what happened to the girls as they disappeared. The publisher said, like, yeah, we'll put it out, but not with that last chapter. So she put it out, and now it's this big mystery of what happened to them. And it's never really resolved. Which, the last chapter in the book, she eventually released later. Ridiculous. Like, it makes no sense. It does work so much better without it. But it's a really cool movie. It's a really cool... Even just reading the Wikipedia page. Like, it's kind of a creepy thing. Like, it's Picnic at Hanging Rock. It's really cool.
Okay. Number three for me. Maybe it's my favorite Cronenberg movie. I don't know. It'd be up there. 1983's Videodrome.
I thought you were going to go Scanners there.
I almost did. I think Scanners was 81 or 82.
Yeah, before you said 83.
Yeah.
I could see Videodrome.
I think that's another one. Like, I think the story is so neat. Like, you could modernize that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and give it some better special effects, too.
And give it to a director with a different, like, that's one of those that if you have a unique vision, it's gonna
well, yeah,
out.
I mean, Cronenberg wrote and directed that, so yeah. It was kind of his thing. But yeah, I think that movie could do with a little new bells and whistles.
Another one that I think could do with an updated 1974's A Boy and His Dog.
Was that the one with Crockett?
Don Johnson?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just and his talking telepathic dog.
Yeah, post-apocalyptic.
It's insane.
Yeah.
The ending is such... I don't know if that ending would fly now.
Shit, I don't even know if I remember the ending.
Oh,
and that's sad.
God, the ending is...
apparently it's nuts.
The most fucking insane thing, which... Can I spoil a movie from 1974?
Well,
it's a fucking... crazy ending that's just a downer.
Here's the thing. Like, I think people have had a chance to see that movie, but I don't think that maybe people...
I don't
really
think people
know.
Have, yeah.
Yeah, so let's maybe not spoil
I'm not,
it.
I'm not, because it's so... If you do go watch it, I don't want that moment spoiled, because it's fucked up. It's one of the most fucked up endings I ever...
You're gonna have to remind me when I shut this shit off.
Yeah.
I mean, I think...
It's a fucked up ending, but it's a cool movie. You update it. Give it in the hands, like, it could be brutal. Like, it's already got a violent tone.
Yeah,
to
it kind of does.
It can be just a brutal. Like, I think of Nicky Windy Rain, like, the kind of brutality he can do, like, he brings to movies. Him remaking this movie would be awesome.
Yeah, that could be neat, but I want him to do Logan's Run first. My number two, probably my second. No, I can't even say that. It's probably my third favorite John Carpenter movie. And I was reading online. Apparently, people don't like this movie. Maybe I'm in the minority.
Ghosts of Mars?
No. It is from 1988, starring Rowdy Roddy Piper
and
Keith
David.
Oh, why do you want that remade? Why do I want They Live remade? Because I'd like it to be updated. I think that kind of... And when we were talking about that movie Branded, I thought, oh, this is kind of like...
It was like an updated version.
Yeah. But something like that. I think... I think could be really, really neat if done correctly. And I mean, the special effects weren't great in that either. They were pretty shitty. But I think Piper was pretty good.
Yeah, no, that movie, I can't see that movie getting better for what it is. Like, it's perfect what it is.
Yeah, it is a really good movie. But I mean, people, most of Carpenter's movies are getting remade or have been remade at this point. And I'm just waiting on the They Live remake.
Yeah, no, that would be... I had something else to say, but I forget what it was. So I'll just move on to my...
Fair enough.
What's your number one? I want to do mine last.
Okay. My number one is a movie that I love. It's probably top 10. And people are like, well, why the fuck would you want to remake a top 10 movie? But I think that the crux of the story is about a guy that graduates college and he kind of bounces around. Doesn't know what the fuck he's going to do with his life. Which I think is, you know, maybe it's a little, behind the curtain for me. I did that for quite a while. But I think there's a lot of people that could probably identify with that right now. And there are maybe some things that you could add to it. Some different things that young adults might be dealing with today that they weren't necessarily dealing in 1967's The Graduate.
That's exactly what I was going to guess The Graduate.
Yeah.
I could see
it. Love that movie.
But I feel like that's been done a lot.
I think that there's probably movies that are like that, that are graduate-esque.
Yeah. Like, there hasn't been a direct Graduate remake. I think the storylines presented in there have been tackled so many times. Maybe not all at once.
Yeah.
But the May-December romance, the everything else.
Oh,
like,
yeah, definitely. But I think that, like, just for probably...
I don't think you can top Hoffman.
No, you can't. That's what I'm saying. Like, it would be such a pain in the ass to do. No, you'd have to recast it, and maybe somebody would have this brilliant idea where you make it a girl. I don't know.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah. No, that's not bad. But I just don't, that's another one. I don't know if it can get better.
Oh, I don't know that it would. I would just like to see somebody try it.
My number one, I love this movie, but could be 100% better with better effects and updated story. 1989's Deep Star 6. It's an underwater horror movie. It came out around the same time as Leviathan and The Abyss.
Yeah,
there was all these underwater horror movies. Deep Star 6 kind of got shoved under the rug
Got deep sixed.
Oh, Jesus. It's an awesome horror movie. Like, it's
I don't think I've seen it.
It's just this underwater crew that they unearth, like, monsters. And it's fucking brilliant. Miguel Fier is in it.
Yeah, that guy.
He's awesome in it. He's also in, I think he was in The Guardian, too. He was in The Guardian. Yeah,
apparently he had a run late 80s.
Yeah, yeah, but it's just an awesome movie. The deaths, like, this is where I like British horror movies better than American ones, because in British horror movies, the deaths matter.
Oh, there's better character development.
Yes, there's better character developments, and when somebody dies, it affects the characters.
Yeah.
Whereas in American horror movies, really don't tackle.
They're fodder.
Yeah, on a whole. Like, I'm not singling them all out, but generally, British horror movies deal with death better than American ones. Deep Star 6, like, it reminds me of Sunshine, the Danny Boyle movie, where every...
When people die, that was sad.
Every death mattered. Like, every death hit you. And what's crazy is that not all the deaths were the monsters. Like, that's... And it did have some of the same elements that Sunshine had, where it's like, oh, we're not only, you know, our fear is almost as dangerous as what we're facing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, every death was just brutal. Like, every death, the captain, his death was amazing.
Spoiler alert.
Well, everybody, yeah, it doesn't spoil anything.
Spoiler alert.
Because you don't see it coming. It's so...
Spoiler alert.
It's so brutal. Like, it's such a good movie. I don't know why people don't like it, but people don't like it. If you update it, I've already started the script, so if you have money, you can buy the rights. Give it to me. It can be awesome. It just needs updated.
All right, with that, we're going to try and motor into the trailer section, motor into the trailer park real quick. We'll try and breeze through this quicker than we usually do, but we'll hit it in more depth next week.
Yeah, we'll put off some of these, but there's some cool trailers that we wanted to talk about, so watch these and give us your thoughts on them, and we'll talk about them next week. Silent Hill Revelation 3D trailer came out. That's interesting.
It looks a lot like the first Silent Hill movie, creepy survival horror.
That Adelaide Clemens, though, she's going to be a star. She looks like a young Michelle Williams. She's a little Australian actress.
She does
actress.
Look a lot like Michelle
she's
Williams.
She's going to be, you know how a lot of times actresses...
And if you're into Game of Thrones, we got half the Stark family is in it, so check it out.
Yeah, so that Adelaide Clemens is going to be a star. Jack and Diane looks really cool.
The lesbian werewolf movie, as it was termed, but if you watch a trailer, you definitely catch the lesbian aspect.
You get the
aspect.
Lesbian, I don't know what else there is, but there's something going on in there.
Yeah.
Cloud Atlas is what a lot of people have been talking about.
Big
this
trailer,
week.
6 minutes.
Tom Hanks with like four different haircuts.
Yeah.
It's reminiscent of The Fountain to me.
Halle Berry, a bit, yeah.
Like, that's what it looks like to me, and I hated The Fountain.
I love The Fountain.
But I've never seen a 6 minute trailer for a movie and had no fucking clue what the movie was about.
I agree.
About Cherry, Christian Henshaw or something, the chick from Chronicle.
Yeah.
She's getting into porn, tutelaged by Heather Graham banging a coke-addled lawyer, James Franco. That looks kind of cool.
Sign me up. Written by a guy that was in porn and a lecturer from NYU or New York State that was also in the adult film industry.
Yeah, like, so it looks kind of cool. And James Franco in that kind of... I like that Franco does these kind of movies. Mm-hmm. Something else that looks really interesting, The Oranges. Hugh Laurie, his best friend is Oliver Platt, starts banging Oliver Platt's daughter, Leighton Meester.
Wouldn't you, though?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. Totally. But it's the cast is awesome. It's
Catherine Keener,
maybe.
Alia
Shockwatt. It just looks awesome. Like it, the other Topher, Adam Brody, who I really like. And then Life of Pi, which
I talked about. That's one of my most anticipated movies coming up.
Jake Gyllenhaal not in it now.
Or Tobey Maguire.
Not in it now.
Yeah, that's fine. You don't see him in the trailer. You just see
this little Indian
fella. Yeah. And quite a few aminals. He's on a boat. See him with the tiger. Look how he becomes friends with the tiger. That's good.
That's the trailers for this week. If you have thoughts on any of those, like, we kind of blew through them, but let us know, and we'll hit them up next week.
Yeah, we'll read your thoughts. We'll go into a little bit more detail next week. If we can recall this week.
Totally.
Total Recall is coming out as our ham-handed segue would lead you to believe, as well as Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Dog Days. Those are the big wide releases. Limited release, a couple movies we talked quite a bit about, Celeste and Jesse Forever, 360, and The Baby Makers.
Celeste and Jesse Forever, I really want to see. That's the Adam Sandberg,
I think that'll
Jones
be good.
Movie. Baby Makers, J. Tranger Shekar directed.
Some of the Broken Lizard guys switching the sperm.
As far as the wide release, I really... Total Recall doesn't look terrible, but I don't have interest in
it. It's PG-13.
I'm not interested.
No, I guess I'm not really either. And I like the first Total Recall a lot.
So do I. Yeah. And Diary of a Wimpy Kid, those just quietly do well. They're made cheap and they make enough. I don't even know where to go. It's not going to be number one. 15 for Total Recall. Do 15 for both.
I'm going to take under on Total Recall. I'll take over for Wimpy Kid.
I'll take under on both.
Fair enough.
Baby Makers hits video on demand also on Friday, so you can watch it on demand or buy it on iTunes.
Yeah. So is that your watch list for this week, or do you want to go with your Geekscape guys? Watch Clown with a K.
You can watch Clown with a K, or watch Deep Star 6.
That's a bonus. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, go to geekscape.net. I forget how cheap it is, but it's not much at all to watch
Whatever
Clown.
It is, you know, yeah. Just
and then,
support those fellas.
Find Deep Star 6. I doubt it's on streaming, but find it. It's...
Go to a video store if you know what that is.
Exist?
Yeah, I guess they do. Mine, if you really want to see a lesbian vampire movie, check out Ginger Snaps. It's got
some...
That's
a lesbian werewolf movie.
Well, that's what I meant to say.
Yeah. Because
that's what we were talking about before, was lesbian werewolves.
The first Ginger Snaps is awesome.
Yeah,
the second one's
good.
Really good in a completely different way. I like the second one a lot.
Check
third
them out.
Third one, shit the bed. So
but a lot of that happens with a lot of movies.
Watch both Ginger Snaps, the first two. I support that watch this.
Yeah, well, good. I'm glad. So you get Dave's endorsement. Hopefully we will get your endorsement in the form of a follow on Twitter, @MoviesOnUp, a like on our Facebook page, which you can get to by following the Facebook link from our website,
MoviesOnUp.com. Hit us up at MoviesOnUp@gmail.com. Leave us an iTunes review.
Please do.
Follow me personally on Twitter, @DaveBasella. Find me at DaveBasella.com. You can find my other show, Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave.
You can follow me to the local pizza establishment, where I will be headed to right now, because I am hungry. Thanks for listening for Movies On Up. We talked earlier, we need to introduce ourselves. So
I'm
Ryan. He's Dave.
We were supposed to do it at the beginning of the
show.
Yeah,
but we'll do it at the end, which will be like the beginning.
So maybe next week.
It's like Fallen.
Maybe next week. Well, I liked Fallen a lot.
I did too. But like the end was at the beginning.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're doing that. That was Denzel too, right?
Yeah. Denzel, Johnny Goodman.
This is a Denzel house.
Yeah. But until next week.
Denzel, keep it up.
Keep it up.